141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we move slowly into the international break, but with plenty of stories on the domestic front. Wilfried Nancy emerges as an apparent front runner for the Celtic managerial vacancy. Mikey Moore feels he's moving towards top form and believes Rangers are still in a title race. And Scotland head to Turkey for some warm weather training before the massive games against Greece and Denmark. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is Ross McCormick and Gordon Dalziel.
Yeah, after the weekend, Gordon, we're looking forward to Saturday and then next Tuesday, important games for the national team. We're also sitting here wondering, was Sunday Martin O'Neill's last show in the Celtic dugout? I don't think so. I think there's still a bit of work to be done for a new manager coming in. Rangers are improving under their new manager, Mikey Moore, talking there, coming into a bit of form. That ability that everybody thought that he had when he came up with Tottenham, he seems a bit more relaxed now, playing some good stuff. And obviously, you look at the league table, it's just going up and down every week. It's exciting, plenty to talk about, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, big week coming up. I'm looking forward to it. I think I said before, I'm not one for international football, but this is a massive week for Scotland.
You regretted that, didn't you?
Yeah, I regretted it instantly.
I told you that if we go to the USA and Mexico, you're not coming.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's trying to backtrack.
Yeah.
Many caps you got?
I think maybe 12 or 13.
That's
or
good.
Something.
You'll do for us. 12 more than us. So well done. 0141 951 1025. What is on your mind tonight? You are more than welcome to get the Scotland ball rolling ahead of a huge weekend, but it might be a bit early for you. And of course, loads of you have just got domestic football swirling around your heads 24/7. So let's get stuck into that as well. Celtic fans, how would you feel about Wilfried Nancy? He appears to be the front runner. He's emerging as the apparent front runner for the managerial vacancy. We'll tell you a bit more about him. What do you already know? What have you looked into? What have you found out? Would that satisfy you? Would it not? It's clearly what would be considered left field, whatever that means. But you've gone down left field route before and it worked out quite well. So what do you make of those suggestions? Because although the vacancy has been there for over 2 weeks now, it's been quite a quiet one in that regard. There's not been loads. You got the little sniffs of Kieran McKenna and people put two and two together with Ange Postecoglou. There's never been loads of names that are properly appear to be in the frame. So what do you make of the search generally? You can finish off what we started last night. Gordon Dalziel's given his view on it as to whether it was Martin O'Neill's final game in charge or not, and specifically Wilfried Nancy, what would you make of his credentials? And if not him, then of course give us an alternative name. It actually feels, Gordon Dalziel, like because of the nature of this, I don't feel like we've properly debated who the next manager will be that much. Right, now bear with me, I know it's been mentioned, Martin O'Neill comes in, so that kind of dominates things. There's been a game every couple of days, so you've then had to either preview that game, reflect on that game. You know what? It feels like the managerial search has obviously been there, and we've taken calls on it and we've referenced it, but never that like wall to wall proper deep analysis of what the next manager might be. And I wonder if that is partly because the names seem a bit sort of vague as well. There's the odd one that we've discussed, but this is one that's emerged and it's quite interesting.
Usually we'd be inundated with phone calls with names, all different sorts of names, Gordon, you've got to admit that. But I think it's because Martin O'Neill has went into the dugout. And apart from that one game in Europe, it's been successful. He's got to a cup final, got a good result at the weekend. So it's sort of a calm the Celtic supporters down a little bit, looking at where the next manager or who the next manager's got to be. I do believe that they're obviously well down the road of trying to appoint one, but I keep...
Do you? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean?
Because I look at Martin, I don't think that Martin O'Neill's got to be long-term for him anyway. They're going to come into a January window that... If Martin O'Neill's not got to be your manager, you've got to have somebody in, you've got to have somebody recognising what sort of a changes the club needs as in personal and the playing staff. So they'll have a new manager in by then. But what right now, because of situations now in managers, we've seen it with Rangers, it's well documented now that the days of Rangers, Celtic and other big clubs just deciding they want to phone up and get a manager and it's a case of deal done. That doesn't happen in modern day football now. You got a lot of managers you look at and think, that'd be a great job for you to go to Celtic, but they're happy where they are, or something else is floating their boat. So I think Martin O'Neill has given them that, taken that pressure off them, but I'm sure they'll be well down the line trying to get someone in. But until that paper signed, it'll still remain reasonably quiet within the Celtic corridor for
me. Collecting the opinions of the various pundits and seeing who's right, Ross. Has Martin O'Neill managed Celtic for the last time or not? Gordon Deal thinks no.
I don't think so either. I think the fact that you know, the Columbus managers came out of nowhere to be an apparent front runner suggests to me that they're probably not as far down the line as some people might think. So I expect Martin still to be in the dugout.
Okay.
They've surely got a shortlist. You know what I mean? Surely this time just now, they've got a shortlist of who they want. But I keep going back to it. Because of the success and who Martin O'Neill is, the Celtic fans are quite at ease just now with the situation of the manager. And it gives the board a little bit of time. So I do think they'll have a shortlist there and they'll begin through it to get the best person in.
Do you know what got me thinking? Today, though, obviously, the overall picture with Celtic. So there's a managerial vacancy. So you think, what can we do? How do we unite the fans? Go for somebody popular. Go for a legend. He's a pensioner, but it doesn't matter. Just go there. Just get him back in. Unite the fans. Somebody that everybody loves. Somebody that could walk on the pitch and the stadium will erupt. Somebody that will always go down at that football club as a real favourite. And I was just thinking about Raith Rovers getting rid of Barry Robson today and where they turn next.
Don't look at
me. I can tell you where it won't be.
You're 100%. You can tell where it'll not be.
Similarities are striking.
No, hold on a minute. They're not really. I'm no 73.
He's only 10 years older.
Yeah.
That's why I said pensioner.
He's a much better manager than I'll ever hope
but
to
listen,
be.
Listen, it's all relative. Seriously. You're the... And what's all the fuss been about, Martin O'Neill? He can't get a tracksuit that he likes. He wants to wear
I would take my old baggy stuff out.
Imagine you, Stark's put out the tunnel, yeah. The baggy tracksuit on, the big collar, the socks tucked in, the Puma Kings.
You know, I'm a bit trendy.
Listen,
I always wore Adidas, mate. I was on Adidas.
If the Wraith hierarchy are listening, we've got your guy right here. Pick up the phone. Imagine the call came in live on air. Gordon, because that would be it. Look, we know you're not the long-term guy. Don't be so silly. But we think you're the one to pull just, everybody together just now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, gun short term. Definitely.
And then first thing you do, down the fixture list, when you play Partick Thistle.
No, oh, I'd tell you the first thing
he'd be
do,
easy.
He'd ask how much they're paying him.
Obviously.
He'd be easy. Jack O's is closed down. I don't think I'd bought there anymore.
Anyway, 01419511025. Charlie's on the line. How are you, Charlie?
Not bad, Gordon, yourself?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, I was just... it's the way things have gone recently over the last couple of weeks with obviously Martin O'Neill taking over. Is it Martin O'Neill? He's a sprightly 73 seasons old. But I worried that if Celtic keep the form up and start keep banging the goals in, that wee man's going to end up with an injury and be to Easter along with the rest of the team.
So these hamstring injuries, Charlie, it's a matter of time.
He's going to do a hammy or something like that, man, definitely. So I think Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney, I have to say, by the way, I enjoyed listening to last night's show. I really need to mention this first. Frank last night was brilliant. I loved the way he stood up for himself. I got a point across about Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney and talked about getting the right man in. I would have Sean Maloney and Martin O'Neill to the end of the season. And so a wee bit I meant to add on there at the end there was maybe Martin O'Neill could fling Sean Maloney a bit of your mark or half time, you know, and manage his minutes, so to speak. In which case, Sean Maloney. Why not? The way if Celtic win the league this season with Sean Maloney and Martin O'Neill, why not Sean Maloney? I think there's a phrase that's been used on the show the last few weeks talking about Hearts. How long can they keep the run going? I don't think Hearts are on a run. I think Hearts are playing at a level. But in the way that you can score a goal the first minute of a game or the last minute of a game, it's 38 seasons long, so we'll see what Hearts do over the season. But they're at a level now. They're not on a run. They're not going to cave in or fall off the edge of a cliff.
Mm-hmm. But they're on an unbeaten run, though, to be fair, aren't they?
It's
an unbeaten run. It's decent. Not lost a single game yet.
Yeah, yeah. It's they're in a good vein of form, to use an art semantics called it, I know it is. But yeah, they're on some sort of run. But it's their level. It's their level now, Gordon. This is the issue. It's not like it's going to, they're then going to revert back to type of last season and suddenly become.
Yeah. So you think they're there to stay then, if that's the case?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I think they're the top two, three.
So see on your theory then, because I think if it got to that, how could you argue? If you're saying if Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney won the league, then you would stick with some version of that going forward. But what makes you think that gets the chance to happen? It's a long time away, obviously, isn't it?
Well, you need to watch. Well, they've turned it around right away at the start. They're giving people a chance. They're open-minded, far open-minded than Brendan Rodgers was, for whatever reason. You know, I know we talk about club signings or whatever. They're different people. See, a club, you're going to get a short-term manager influence signings when the manager's there. But behind that, you've got to expect that the recruitment department and your farewells to keep the long-term signings going. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so like plans that were already in place, that sort of thing.
Plans are going in place. And they're going to sign people. They're talking about signing people. What's it last night? They're talking about signing people for here and there. At the command boy, he got mentioned as well. So they're going to do these things. See, when a manager comes into a club, he comes into 20-odd new signings. No, he comes into club signings. It's the club signings he comes into. Mm-hmm. So he shouldn't really worry about that.
Let's put some of it to the panel, because Charlie's saying that, you know, Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney, you know, end of the season. It just seems like such a long way off. And I suppose it's difficult to assess when you've not been in the head of the Celtic decision makers. But let's say, well, it depends what the starting point is. If your starting point is, we'll get Martin O'Neill in, and there is no way there is anything more than a short-term fix till we find someone else, you probably can't, you wouldn't change that mindset after four games, would you? Now, maybe after, I don't know, 10, 12, you've kind of won them all, or you're unbeaten domestically, you've maybe taken a couple hits in Europe because the squad's not good. Maybe you'd then start to change your mind. But if you had a clear strategy for how you wanted this to go, you wouldn't change that. On the flip side, is there a possibility that they thought, oh, we'll just bring them in and see how it goes then?
The only way I think you would change that, and I keep going back to it, I think that if your targets, your number one target would refuse a job or something would happen, you've got that safety blanket of Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney. Listen, there's not a bigger fan in football. I think Martin O'Neill's a brilliant character. I'd love to see him back in there. I think he brings a lot to the game. Charlie was talking there that eventually maybe Maloney, I don't think that's his bag, to be quite honest with you. I think he gets the reputation of being a good coach. He's already tried management. I know that you can go to different clubs and you fail or you'll be successful and then the next one's not, it's up and down. You need to get the right fit. But I just look at Maloney, I don't think, I know Charlie would say okay, but I think majority of Celtic fans wouldn't float their boat.
Well, I think, let's be fair, and I know I can't speak on behalf of everybody, but the night after Brendan Rodgers leaves, if I say, come on then, tell us, what do you think about Sean Maloney for the Celtic manager? We're not getting loads of calls in to say, yes, please. And that's no disrespect to him, it's just the way it works.
No, listen, the first part of that, totally, I can get. Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney there at the end of the season, if they can't get the manager that they want, yep, no brainer. The second part, Maloney getting the job, if they go on to win the league, is just, there's no way in the world that's going to appease the Celtic fans. Not a chance.
What about the, because, you know, Charlie was right, there was a caller, forgive me, his name escapes me, who made that point last night that you just need to wait for the right man. And we're sort of back and forward in terms of where's that line? Because presumably you don't wait forever, obviously. Mm. So how do you find it? I know it's very different, but we've just had an example here where, by the looks of it, Rangers wanted Kevin Muscat, but they couldn't make it happen right now. They wanted a manager right now, and then they went to Danny Rule. Now I get it, because there's Martin O'Neill there, so the ship sort of steadied. And that might be the way that you look at it, but it would depend what that wait looks like. You asking to wait till Christmas, that's a different question to, will you wait till the end of the season? That's so different.
Yeah, and plus the fact, Celtic, it's not a case of Celtic just now, and I think every Celtic fan will admit this because of the protest. The January window has got to be so, so important for Celtic. And I think that you need somebody, and I know people say, well, hold on a minute, it's mostly recruitment, it's other people that bring the players in, it's up to the manager or the coach, head coach, like what he's called now, to go and get the best out of them. But if you're dealing with a club like Celtic and a top manager coming in, You want a bit of say in that, Gordon. That's a big, big thing. Yeah. And Celtic will need to spend money in January because of what happened in the summer. So that's your difficulty there.
Matthew is in Paisley. What are you thinking, Matthew?
Hello.
Hello, what are you thinking, Matthew?
Hi, it's Paul. That's no Matthew.
Oh, I think Matthew's... Mm-hmm. Let's go. Matthew was through first. Let's go Matthew in the other line, then we'll bring Paul in just a second. Go on, Matthew.
Hi, good evening, guys.
Take it away, Matthew.
I was just listening to that previous caller there who has a bit of faith in that Sean Maloney could be the next Celtic manager, and I just personally completely disagree. I think Sean Maloney's obviously got coaching credentials. He's a good coach. He's coached under Martinez at Belgium, but his managerial record's just nowhere near it. I think, was it 14 games at Hibs? And I think that's all you need to know. He's not of the level of a Celtic manager, in my opinion. I understand that he's a good coach and he's doing a good job just now, but I just don't think he has the managerial credentials to be a Celtic manager.
Yeah, where do you stand on the bigger picture then? Because for Charlie's theory to play out, I think him and Martin O'Neill had to stay till the end and they had to win the league and all that stuff. Can you see it being that long term? What does your calendar look like?
No, I don't think it can be that long term. I think Martin O'Neill has essentially come in to do a favour to the club, to do a favour, and he's said himself he's going to be short term. If you realistically want somebody in before January to be a long term solution, sign players in January to go forward. I think Martin O'Neill, he's a Celtic legend, but he's not past it, but I just think he's not in a position to take Celtic forward, particularly if he gets any say in January signings. I think, as William Nonsi is, it's shades of Ange in that he's not as well known, but he's got a good record overseas, and I think, you know, it's been proven that that can work at the club before.
Yeah, so what's your gut telling you on that then? You sound fairly open to Wilfred Nonsi. Is that fair?
I'm open to it. I think there's obviously options out there, but nobody's been concretely linked, and he's obviously not been concretely linked as much as you would like at this stage, but it's the best, I suppose, lead we've had so far, and I'm open to giving that a go. I think the MLS is a standard that I think people like to talk down on, but it's not a bad standard of league. It's the coaches that have come have done well, so I think I'm open to that to be the next Celtic manager.
It's an interesting one, Gordon.
Yeah.
We always do this. We did it with Rangers and any other one that comes up. You put them in sort of pigeonholes. It's either they're either young, they're either experienced, they either know the club, they're left field. So left field's anything that you've not heard of before, basically. And Matthew's right. That was the exact words we used. Remember, it was meant to be Eddie Howe. Remember those days for weeks? It was Ange Postecoglou, Ange who, all this stuff, and look how good he was. Has that got any bearing on Wilfred Nonsi? No, but you can. Should it at least allow the Celtic fans to be open to it rather than just shooting down things that you haven't heard of? Because I'm not hugely aware of his work. I have been in the last couple of days, but
I'm the exact same. I do agree with Matthew and everything, and Sean Maloney. And we're not being disrespectful. I do agree with him there. I don't think he will be anywhere near a Celtic manager's job. There was one or two names in the radar that you thought would come up, the Bellamy's and people like that, but there's always someone that just comes out the woodwork that you think, oh, where did that come from? But I'm led to believe he's got some contacts inside Celtic Park, Gordon, if I'm right in saying that. So I don't know. I don't know a lot about MLS. I don't know a lot about his record or what sort of coach, or does he play an attacking style? Does he play three forwards? Does he play two? I have no idea how he goes about his business, but it's one that obviously is on Celtic's radar. They will do their homework and they'll bring in the best person.
Well, do you know what? Luckily for you, don't say I'm not good to you.
I know what you're
going to
do.
I'm going to get you the inside track on this guy when we return. Thank you to Matthew.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025 to join in and have your say. Now, today, or certainly maybe last night into today, Wilfred Nonsi apparently becoming the front runner for the Celtic vacancy. And just before the break, Gordon DL was admitting he didn't know much about him. He wanted to know more about him, what he's achieved, what his style of play is. Well, hopefully we're going to get the answers. Brian Sciaretta joins us on the line, who is our MLS football expert for this evening. Brian, how are you?
Oh, good afternoon. Thanks very much for having me on, guys.
No, pleasure to have you all the way from New Jersey. Go on then, Brian. If you were to give us the background, the lowdown on Wilfried Nancy. Who is he? What's he done? What's he achieved? And why are we talking about him?
Well, I think he's been, over the course of the last several years, the best coach in Major League Soccer. He's had success with two different teams, Montreal Impact and Columbus. He has massive success in both areas. He's very much his own man and an independent thinker. He's made some bold decisions, worked with a lot of really good players in this league, and some of whom are now doing big things in Europe. So, I think he's, he's French, but he's, has a big background in French Canada. So he's, like I said, I think it's going to be a big loss for the Crew. I think a lot of Columbus fans will be really sad to see him go if this does happen.
So it doesn't sound like you're surprised, Brian, that he's been linked with the Celtic vacancy.
No.
You feel like he's ready for a step like that? You think the credentials are there?
Oh, yeah. I think, I think it was kind of done that he was going to make a jump as soon as one became available to him. I think he's accomplished what he wants to in this league. He's won a title. He's gone to the final of the CONCACAF Champions League. He's had best records in the league. The players he's worked with, it's time for him to test something else out for himself.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the sort of way he plays, Brian, is there anything notable about style or the way they go about it? Celtic is such a unique sort of environment in that winning actually isn't enough, and it probably has to be done in a certain way. What can you tell us about the way he goes about his business?
His team's press. They play they play attacking. Really attacking soccer, or attacking football. He's, he has been going through a 4-3-3 formation here too, but he's also then adjusted that sometimes too to go with three in the back. So there's been a lot of flexibility there too. They've had a lot of good wingers. They've been able to play through some really good center forwards. I think his last team wasn't as good after they sold him. Cucho Hernandez to Real Betis, and he's doing very, very well in La Liga. So, but since then, they come down through the wings, and they've had some really good center forwards to work with at both of his teams.
Mm. What kind of character is he as well? Because again, here, Brian, it's just so relentless.
Yeah.
Again, have to win all the time, and the spotlight it shines very intensely here in Glasgow. What type of character is he?
Well, he's very stubborn, and he very much is his own guy. Like, for example, when they were making their CONCACAF Champions League run to the final, at one point he benched Cucho Hernandez, who was maybe the best player in the continent because of an internal matter. And so in big games, they had to win without Cucho. That was huge. And then in Montreal, he actually was stubborn and got into a row with the owner there, who's he's not the first manager to be to fight with Joey Saputo here in Montreal, but that actually cost him his job, even though he was very, very successful. Now he wasn't employed very long because Columbus took him right up. But that being said, he will make some really tough decisions if he thinks it's in the best interest of the team, and he's willing to not bow down to pressure for that.
Has it been? You mentioned your own thoughts on it in terms of him taking the next step. Has it been widely expected that he goes to Europe at some point soon?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's European himself, from France. So he's, I always figured he's going to want to try to do something like that. And I also think he's accomplished what he wants to do in this league. Usually when managers do that, eventually they start thinking elsewhere to broaden their horizons, and he's young enough to try to do that. So, I kind of thought that it was getting towards the end. And from the rumbling I heard was that he wanted to eventually make this step. So if this offers it to him, I think he'd be he would take it pretty quickly.
And based on, listen, appreciate we are getting the inside track on the man, but based on what you know from a distance about Celtic and maybe European competitions, do you feel like it would be a good fit?
Yeah, I do. I think, again, he's going to come in and he's going to be, he's taken over tough environments each time he's taken a new job. So, and he's turned things quickly. He gets a lot of respect quickly. So, yeah, I'd be very optimistic that, that it would work out. I mean, I like him a lot. I think he's been the best manager in the league over the course of, like, last 6-7 years. So, you know, I'm curious to see how it goes for him.
Brilliant, Brian. That was perfect. Exactly the insight we were looking for. I've got these two so-called experts next to me. They knew nothing about them. So I'm glad that you've filled in the blanks. Thank you very much.
No, my pleasure. Thank you.
Good man. That was Brian Shiretta, MLS expert. There you go. I had all your questions answered.
Oh, absolutely brilliant.
Are you sold?
I tell you what, if I was him, I'd go and get Brian, his agent. Absolutely great. Listen, you were sitting there, if you're a Celtic fan, you're thinking, right, that ticks a lot of boxes. Wingers, attackers, the 4-3-3, can adjust to a 3. I think he'll need to bring a couple of right wingers with him, if I'm honest with you. And the big one for me is I like a manager at a club the size of Celtic that is capable of making big decisions and tough decisions. And I think that's something you need when you get into a building.
Because people, the connection, you're always looking for the connection, Ross. And it might be a coincidence, it might be nothing, but it's believed that, so Wilfred Nancy's assistant, Kwame Ampadu, is the dad of Ethan Ampadu, who you've heard of playing down the road, and knows Paul Tisdale from their time together at Exeter. So that's the connection. And look, I always sort of, you want to caveat, every time we get someone like that on, we're looking just for an insight, things that we don't know, we're not in the environment. So it might not be him in the end, and it might not pan out as good as Brian thinks it would, but he's clearly very, very highly thought of. And with Brian saying he thinks he's been the best coach in the MLS, is that the type of level Celtic would be looking at? Like, you don't need... Celtic are not getting the best coach in the English Premier League, right? You know, you're probably not getting the best coach from a lot of European leagues, but you might get the best in the MLS, or you might get the best over in the Far East like Ange was.
See, this is what I worry about here, Gordon. If he does come and it doesn't go well, then, you know, straight away the fans are going to say, well, the board are penny pinching again, they've went for the cheap option. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. Hopefully if he does come, he takes it by storm right away and shows exactly what everyone in America is thinking of him. Because it's one thing to say, you know, this season he's been the best coach in the MLS, but for the last 6-7 years, I mean, there's been a few good coaches over there. So for 6 or 7 years, that's a big statement.
Kieran is on in Bayliston. What are you thinking, Kieran? Don't know if that's sold you in any way or you had thoughts of your own.
I will say, first of all, that I remember years ago a compilation on YouTube of Mo Bangura's best moments met a Celtic for Celtic, so I'll take it with a pinch of salt. I will say, for what he said, it's clear in the MLS he's obviously built a profile, he's built a reputation, can't be denied. He's obviously got Columbus Crew and then previously Montreal going well from that, so there's no denying that and everything he said there, because he's in the environment we're not. But I'm more focused on our environment and Celtic's environment, and the way I'm seeing it is that the Tisdale connection is very, very tense. It's very, very years back. I don't think that would have much to do with it. If it did, I would be very, very shocked with how it was going. But I was wanting to actually bring more on the point that was made earlier by, I think you'd kind of brought up a comment as well regarding being left fielder in Ange. I think the Ange one was a totally different scenario. It had connections with the City group, so there was kind of links there with Celtic already through Yokohama. It was obviously clear that Eddie Howe was the main man. It fell through. However that happened, we'll probably never know. We might know one day. But a guy was coming near 30 years experience, won trophies everywhere he'd been. Had been to a World Cup, had won the Asia Cup with Australia as well. So this wasn't a guy that was walking in the door, regardless of people not knowing his name. He wasn't walking in doors if he didn't have any credentials. This guy who's obviously coming in now, Rolf Nancy, regardless of... He has obviously won the MLS Cup. I know he's got to that CONCACAF Champions Cup final. Obviously that's a start to build his reputation, but he's coming into a team only with 4 or 5 years experience if he's given the job, and pretty much told within 6-7 months in one January window that he needs immediate success. And that is a much bigger step up than managing a team MLS, where you can lose a few games, you can have a few draws, especially with the way their league system works. Totally different environment with Celtic, where it's, to use the Hugh Keevans phrase, if you draw, it's a disaster.
Yeah. Never quote Hugh Keevans, Kieran. That's when you know you're on the slippery slope.
I'm going to use a Daz quote, but I don't know if it was there.
Kieran makes a great point. I sort of said that it's not so much a comparison, it's just that because of the way we do, we always think simply here and we go, oh, I've no heard of him. You know, that's kind of it with Ange Postecoglou. That's a bit as far as it goes. So I get what Kieran means. It always comes back to this. I feel like I mention this every time a vacancy. You know where we are in the food chain, so you know that you can't possibly get a manager that ticks every box. You can't possibly get a no risk appointment. So what you need is to try and limit the risk. And you need to tick as many boxes as you can. So the only way you are going to get a guy with all that experience, international management, and had won loads of trophies, was to do it from a market like that. You see what I'm saying? So similarly with this guy, what he then, the box he doesn't tick is maybe quite the amount of experience Kieran wants. Or he doesn't tick the box where you come from. Let's be honest, it's a bit more intense in Europe, isn't it? I don't want to patronise Brian when he's on, but nevertheless, the need to win, the scrutiny, the criticism, if you don't, is nothing like what it is here. But you can't tick every box, so it just depends how many you think are ticked by.
Yeah, that's an important thing. And I do think Roscoe makes a great point. If Celtic do go for someone that calibre and they'd get it wrong, the board come in for a bit of criticism. If they go for someone that calibre and he comes in, Gordon, and doesn't hit the ground running, and we see it now in football, modern day football, you don't get long. You get judged very quickly.
See if it doesn't work, the board will get criticism anyway. Brendan Rodgers has finished second in the English Premier League, fifth in the English Premier League, won the FA Cup. It then wasn't working. You get stick anyway, no?
Yeah, there's no guarantees of bringing anyone in. You've got a great opportunity that if you're a manager, you sit down with the board and say, right, look, we made a mess of the summer transfer window. We're really going to go for it in the January one. We're going to hit our targets. This is the way we're going to go forward as a club. We're going to get the supporters back on board. Then it excites you and you've got a great opportunity to be successful. But it doesn't, once again, it will not guarantee success. No matter who you bring in, you can bring in one of the best managers. For instance, I'll give you a perfect example. I don't care who was in the dugout last Thursday against Mitchell. They wouldn't have affected that game, right? So they've got to bring in a manager, they've got to back him and hope he hits the ground running. Whether it's this guy or someone else they've got in mind, I don't know.
What does it look like for you then, Kieran? How do you tick more boxes? Because you've actually got Wilfred Nancy, who has, he's won stuff, right? So that's always something you would look for. But what, so he's not won in the right places for you, or he's not got enough years? If so, who does?
Well, mine is more than the having more years and that stuff. Understand where Celtic are now. You're not going to always get a manager that's going to have won every single thing everywhere. I'm not going to be that naive. Understand that. The two kind of names that are standing out to me, if you are going for somebody with that kind of European experience, has had success, has probably worked under financial constraints, which going off the current way the Celtic recruitment and board is, it might not be so different. It's somebody like Kjelte Knutsen, who has been on the radar for quite some time. Or you do look at somebody that you can build around for the next few years that has got that experience. Well, I understand he might not win as many trophies, but somebody like Kieran McKenna is somebody who we've seen probably far more of than we have of Wilfred Nancy and has shown that he can perform. But I also think as well, company Ross McCormack's point, I think I might have just missed that.
Jeez, I thought you were about to suggest him for the job there, just the way you said that. My goodness.
Well, if Ross can actually play way out two right wingers, then he can absolutely join. But I think you've mentioned the point about the kind of cheaper option. That's kind of what the way it will turn out to be, because I know the Kieran McKenna thing, the kind of rumour about the release clause, all that. Knutsen, I know, will probably want to go up to a higher salary, whatever else, with the job he's done, and rightfully so. But if you go for that to this guy, who's only got 4 or 5 years, will probably maybe take a kind of smaller salary in those ones, and you've not had to pay much of compensation, because Columbus are at the end of their season, and it doesn't go well, then I know every manager's never going to be no risk, but it's certainly got a bigger risk factor with somebody that if he loses a few games MLS, he can worry about the playoffs, he can worry about reaching a certain thing, the conference. If he loses one or two here or doesn't get going, I mean, you see with Russell Martin, he kept talking about a project and wanting to build long term. We've seen how he's went out the door. This needs to be something that needs to come in and needs to win immediately.
Yeah, the finances, Gordon's a bit, we'll never know for sure, and Ross, you were the one that brought it up, because by all accounts, the fee's $5 million for Kieran McKenna, and his wage at Ipswich is meant to be large, very, very large, so you could end up, if you really wanted him, so you've got your $5 million anyway, plus what you need, he could end up being a way, way more expensive manager than Brendan Rodgers. Does he justify that? I don't know, I mean, he's obviously is highly thought of.
No, not for me, Gordon. Not the figures that I've heard quoted. The £5 million to get him is one thing. The wage is astronomical that he's on at Ipswich. You know, it's a hefty, hefty pay packet. I don't think it's one that Celtic would even look to entertain. So I would be very surprised with that one.
Kieran, thank you very much. He's not quite convinced with Wilfred Nancy. What about you? We tried to give you a bit of an insight. It's just another person's opinion, and someone who's close to it doesn't mean you need to agree, but give us your thoughts right now whilst I tell you about this. £625,000. What would that be? Is that a couple of months' wage for the new Celtic manager? Would you settle for that? If Wraith picked up the phone,
I thought you were talking about me then.
If Wraith picked up the phone and said, "We need a club legend to steady the ship for that money, Barry Robson,"
I would be jogging up.
Anyway, for your chance to win £625,000, enter Make Me A Winner now. You can actually get 100 entries into this draw by texting BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For £2.50 plus your standard network rate, you can get 15 entries, and that's by texting YES to 61025, or you can call 03434 269 340. The calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk, and the lines close 5pm on Friday. So it's £625,000. I'd imagine you like the sounds of it, so get involved. Good luck. Text YES to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick is here alongside Gordon Dalziel. It's 0141 951 1025. We crossed over to the MLS to get some insight on Wilfred Nancy. Not everyone's convinced in the phones, which is fine. We're not trying to convince, just trying to explore what is out there. Give us your theory, Ross McCormick. I loved it. What's the sort of drama that Scottish football needs? You've got your crystal ball out. What's an outside shout for Celtic?
For me, if they maybe wait 2 or 3 weeks, I think there could be a certain Mr. Daniel Farke at Leeds become available. He's got ties to the 49ers, so if he loses his job at Leeds, he's going to want to get back at the 49ers.
Is he going to lose his job at Leeds, you think, eventually? You're Mr. Leeds.
Well, I think they're struggling. They're struggling as it is, but their next four is Aston Villa, Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool.
And he'll want the 49ers to fail, so he could come here and carry on.
Celtic,
That's all we need.
It's good. I like it.
We're always looking for
connections. Never going to happen, but
of course not. It's absolute nonsense. But James is on the line. How are you, James?
Good evening, guys. Good evening, Ross. Good evening, Gordon.
James.
Celtic fan, as you know. Hello.
Hi, yeah, we've got you, James. Hi. On you go.
My concern is, if we get a new manager within a week, 10 days, is how can you assess a squad when you've got 6 players out and 4 of them would come back before February or March? When you look at the right back, Alistair Johnson's got a tear, Carter Vickers, Jota, the left back's injured now, and the midfielder boy got hurt, hamstring injury. What will happen? Because we need to buy players. So are we going to buy players, or are we going to take them on loan? Because if you take them on loan and they come back in February or March, and the players I've just mentioned who are injured are back, it's going to be an excess of players. But my concern is, what do we do? How can a new manager assess a team when 4 out of 6 would automatically be playing every week, guys?
Is that just the harsh reality of it, though, James? Because it's a difficult situation, but I suppose any manager just needs to work with what they've got, improve what's there, and then, of course, add to it or whatever in time. How do you get away from it?
Well, I'm concerned about the way it's going at the moment. We're dropping like flies every game. You're like, God, I hope nobody is doing injured. And I think if you look at the last couple of games, that's 3 players doing straight away. And you're going, what's the problem? Is the players who are injured have got long, long term injuries. No, you're talking 2, 3, 4 months.
Oh,
the squad, I was going to say to you as well, there's an African Cup coming up in December and January, I believe. Mm-hmm. Have you got any players who could go to that?
Or
would Celtic let them go?
Well, yeah, there are a few, I think. Mm-hmm. Or a couple, certainly. I think James is right, it is worrying, but to kind of put the same question to you,
you can't do anything about it. All you know is, if you're a manager getting in there, that eventually when these players come back, you'll get quality players come back into your squad to add to it, to get the strength. I know what James is saying there. Domestically, a lot of teams don't feel sorry for because Celtic players, or one or two of them draw them hamstrings and whatever, they've got a lot of numbers, unfortunately, because of the transfer window and what they achieved in the summer. They've not got the same quality, but they've still got numbers there, right? They've got young players that can come in and play games as well.
In some areas, though, not really, they don't have numbers at left back anymore.
Well, there must be someone in the, like, say, Donovan come in out of nowhere, yeah, didn't he? Played right back. No, but everybody was shouting for him.
If you have to go to the academy, and by this, a whole other argument that they should be able to learn more. I get that. But every club, in theory, has a youth team that you can dip into. But if we're talking first team, Kieran Tierney's now the only recognised left back.
Yeah, they've left themselves a little bit short. You look up,
unless Scales moves over or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, but ideally, you'd like another left back in there. But they've one position. Everybody looks at the front line, right? With Johnny Kenny's there. Maeda won Player of the Year as a centre forward and bagged so many goals; it was unbelievable. So. They've still got players in the wide areas like Forrest and Yang
So there's more onus. There's more onus though on Maeda to maybe have to fill in elsewhere in the front line because they don't have suitable.
But how many times have we been in this programme? Someone's come on and started talking about players that have not been seen under Brendan Rodgers, and automatically you go, I forgot they were there.
Maybe that's the point. Callum Osmond's won them, and he's injured already.
Yeah.
And it just as players do now, they take to Instagram. To announce the news. Alistair Johnson saying, confirming today he had surgery to repair his hamstring, hope it's the first step, you know, and can't wait to be back later this season for a title push and a home World Cup, he says. So again, Ross, James is right, whatever the new manager comes in, it's not as strong as the squad could be, but that's always the, unless you come in at the start of a summer, the challenge for any new manager is get more out of what you've got and then add when you can.
Yeah, 100%. You do need more at that squad, but I tell you why, the regardless who comes in, that they will need players in January, is because there's no guarantee that the players that are out are going to come back to the same level that they were before they were injured, and Celtic can't take that chance again. They gambled on making Champions League by not making signings. If they're going to get closer to Hearts, they can't gamble that these players are going to come back and get them over the line.
Thank you, James. Let's squeeze in Paul before the news. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Gordon. How you doing?
Good. You take it away.
Good. So, a couple of pundit-related comments. If Dalglish is going to be the messiah in Kirkcaldy, they'll need to rebuild Jackie O's and Bentley's.
No, listen, I think we'd need to keep
Jackie
him.
Jackie O's days are gone,
we
Paul.
We can't have him distracted if he does get the unlikely call.
And I'm always fascinated when Ross is on the show. He's an anomalous football player, but as his combined transfers, is he the highest combined transfers for a Scottish player? Transfers is a crazy pony one.
I'm thinking someone like Oliver Burke might have something to say about that. Yeah, he had a few. Jordan Rhodes, a few.
We'll
get back to you. On you go.
Middle-centric, so I don't know if it's a strong rumour, but there is a chat that Roberto Martinez might be being placeholded by Sean Maloney till after the World Cup, and he then, in terms of his pedigree, budget, players he's worked with, all of that, that's a high level appointment above Brendan Rodgers, you could argue, in terms of his stature. I know he's not managed at club level. I think his wife's Scottish. I think she's a Mull girl, actually. So, don't know what the panel thinks of that one. It would then mean that that Martin O'Neill or somebody else would need to be a caretaker until then. But it does fit in with the Sean Maloney being part of the Dermot Desmond stable.
Yes, we're drawing the links now. We're joining the dots. And Martinez, of course, he's, I forgot how long he's been Belgian manager. Portugal manager, sorry. What I meant to say is how long he's been an international manager. Been ages. I looked it up when Paul started. 2016 was when he went to Belgium.
Never got that, would you?
And then on then on to Portugal. I don't know. I don't doubt Paul's theory. I couldn't comment on it either way. Yes, Martinez has a Scottish wife, and yes, he used to work with Sean Maloney.
Joins a few dots, does it not?
To convince you.
There's no floating your boat, Roscoe.
Hold on, you had sacking Daniel Farke and bringing him up to get revenge on the 49ers.
He's got a wee cup with the Leeds manager here.
Putting him in the door. Listen, Martinez, good manager, isn't he? Would he come to Celtic?
Well, that's it. Sure. See if he goes to the World Cup and has a good World Cup and then wants to get into club management.
Not coming to
be Scotland, would it?
What I would dispute though is people saying that he's a level above Brendan Rodgers. What is he? What's he done in club football that's better than what Brendan Rodgers has done? That's what I'd like to know,
Paul.
In terms of his stature now, that if he have a good World Cup, he's working with Ronaldo. He's been working alongside Henri and the coaching staff. Just, you know, in that kind of higher echelons of world football, I guess, rather than.
But he had probably the best Belgian squad that they've ever had, and failed to win anything.
Yeah. No, it's a fair point. But in terms of being an upgrade on Brendan Rodgers, I mean that's another argument. What happens to his career now and his legacy with Celtic? But could he come and do a job with Sean Maloney? Is he worth waiting on? In my opinion, yes.
Well, we'll need to wait till the summer. Thank you for the suggestion. That was Paul on the line, which takes us nicely up to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. I'm looking at these two. I'm thinking it's an easy night for you. Don't tell them I said that, but I think there is a ball or a coin going out of this studio tonight.
Or both.
0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Ross McCormick are here. Plenty of time to get your calls in with whatever it is that's on your mind. Celtic managerial vacancy. We're going to hear from Mikey Moore, Rangers fan. Still feels like you're in the title race. What do you think? Are you starting to see the best of him? Of course, we're going to play Beat the Pundit in a second. I'm still reeling from the revelation during the news.
What?
It's the highlight of Gordon DL's social calendar. He's been talking about it for months. It's Mark Wilson's big day on Sunday. It's his wedding. He's one of the bridesmaids. That's
I'm
why he's been getting his Botox done. And he's just told us that he's been getting his shoes stretched for 3 days. Why not just, but that sums you up. Rather than buy new shoes that
there
fit
There are
you.
New shoes. That's why I've got
why
them.
He's bought a size 6 kid sizes because there's
You've got wear sizes in a sale, and mate, now you've gone
no,
and get them stretched.
No, I bought.
Who gets their shoes stretched?
I bought these shoes. I'm paying them up, right? And what happens is when you put them on, you know what like it is. We're going to have a few of Mark's freebies, a bit of champagne. We'll buck dancing. Gary Spence is there. Everybody, all the top notches are there. So I don't want my heels to get skinned.
So
I put my shoes in to get them stretched.
Did you wear them in the bath? Is that not what you used to do?
Nah,
with
your boots.
New football boots.
Yeah, they were. And then you would put the wet paper.
So what did so Timpsons or whatever stretch
your shoes
for?
Oh, they fit like a glove now.
Like a shoe.
Like a shoe.
But see, when you get them stretched, do they not only stretch at the front? Your heel's still going to get skinned. It's still going to be against the back of your heel now.
No, and then what you do.
He's definitely. There's a cost cutting.
And then what you do, you get a hammer. Right, you got a hammer and you hammer the back of the heel and it just softens them.
That's
nice.
Absolute nonsense. See, next time, buy shoes that fit you. That would be my advice.
I just want
the extra £20 and get shoes that fit you.
I just want it a wee bit more extra comfort.
Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Jonathan is in Maryhill. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm well, how are you, Gordon?
Good, thank you for asking. Is this your first time?
It is, yeah. I've been trying for ages to get on. I've been desperate to play Andy Halliday, actually.
Oh, he's pretty good.
Oh, you must be good, Jonathan.
No, it's more I wanted to get a message to him.
All right. Well, tell us, we'll pass it on.
Well, hey, what about the message to Andy Halliday last night? Oh my, if you've not seen this, go on our social media channels, we've put the video up. It's one of the most roller coaster calls we've ever had. Did you hear it? No?
No.
A guy comes guy comes on. He says, "Hello, Andy." I thought it was Andy's grandfather or something. The guy sounded so old. He said, "I went to primary school with you. I'm 34. I'm in the same." So I'm thinking, no, this, on it, you need to hear how old this guy sounded. So that was the first problem. He then says, "Andy, I remember at school you told me you fancied a girl in the class called Sharon Osborne." And again, so next one, hold on, there can't be anything Kirk Donald called Sharon Osborne. So we go through it all, we have a bit of a laugh, and he comes back in at the end, the guy, and says, Gordon, I just want to say there is a Sharon Osborne. I've married her. She chose me over Andy.
And I'll bet you any money I know Andy's first text.
Andy's wife was
texting. Oh, there you go.
who that is, Sharon.
It's him or me, Sharon. Get him out.
Get him out, Sharon. Anyway, right, go and check the video out. It's good fun. Andy's not here. These two are on Beat the Pundit. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be Ross McCormick. The red sign will be Gordon DL. You're actually going for four wins in a row, which is unlike you. And it's Ross, though. It's blue for Ross. Oh. So Jonathan will play Ross. Ross will get some music in his ear, and Jonathan will go first. You know the drill, Jonathan. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can, and you're more than welcome to just pass and move on if you so wish, okay?
Yep, that's fine.
Right, top man Jonathan, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which Scotland legends had a documentary released about him on Amazon Prime?
Oh, pass.
Who's the only Hibs player in the current Scotland squad?
Garden.
Which League One club have today been left without any directors after SFA sanctions?
Oh, pass.
True or false, Gordon DL is the bookie's favourite for the Raith Rovers job?
False.
Name any player that dropped out the Scotland squad this week? Three, two, one. Okay.
Oh, God. He's hopeless. Oh, mate. Just get one. That's enough.
I think he's, Jonathan was all right.
Jonathan's woeful.
Here's the question.
I listened to the last question there.
Here's the question, though. Is he double bluffing you?
Probably.
Is he just bluffing you?
Probably. Mate, remember exactly. He killed me the last time, remember?
There's a question in there. Just look and I'll give you an odd. Okay?
No, don't look at him at all. You ready? 30 seconds on the clock. Same set of questions to Ross McCormick, and his time starts now. Which Scotland legend has just had a documentary released about him on Amazon Prime?
Pass.
Who's the only Hibs player in the current Scotland squad?
Pass.
Which League One club have today been left without any directors after SFA sanctions?
Hamilton Accies.
True or false, Gordon DL is the bookie's favourite for the Raith Rovers job?
False.
Name any player that dropped out the Scotland squad this week.
Oh, I just read that as well. Pass.
Celtic managerial target Wilfred Nancy manages which MLS side?
Montreal.
Okay, Jonathan, you've heard your competition. You know what you said. Do you have high hopes of getting the victory here?
No.
Just
all mine, but it's like, well, I've heard people say before, when you've got the noise going on, it's just,
and the pressure.
And it's, did you bottle it, Jonathan? Jonathan, did you, mate?
Well, listen, the
Columbus crew in it. It's not.
Let us go through them and we'll find out what damage has been done, because I don't know if Ross pulled up any trees either.
No.
Which Scotland legend has had a documentary released about him on Amazon Prime? It is Kenny Dalglish. You seen it? It's meant to be very good.
I've had
loads of people been on to me saying it's good. I've not seen it yet.
Imagine not even having a guess.
Was it Scott Allen came in on Friday raving about it?
I'm going to watch it. That'll be my viewing tonight.
Okay, it's not your usual late night viewing, but anyway, who's the only Hibs player in the current Scotland squad?
Grant Hanley.
See, easy when the clock's not
ticking.
To be fair,
I was struggling it as well.
Grant Hanley.
Did Jonathan get that?
He didn't. He said Cadden, which I didn't think was
they
a terrible.
They were passing about to each other, weren't they?
You know, a terrible guess. Cadden has had caps before. But anyway, Grant Hanley. Which League One club have been left without any directors today after SFA sanctions? It is Hamilton Accies, 1-0 to Ross McCormick. But if you've not seen the news today specifically, you wouldn't know.
But
that,
is that not really what you should do before you come on and want to play guys like Andy Halliday?
They just want to show off their knowledge.
Yeah, well, he's obviously doing a really
true
good job.
True or false?
It's true, by the
Gordon
way.
Gordon DL is the bookie's
favourite
for the vacant Raith Rovers job.
It's true.
Don't even dare say it's true.
It is false, obviously. I just haven't seen the odds, but I'm just assuming it's false. I don't even need to check. But maybe we could drum up a bit of hype, a bit of publicity. You did get that one, Jonathan. Hopefully it's not the only one you get. If that's the sole sum of your Beat the Pundit performances, to know that Gordon DL is not.
As long as it's not a donut.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Name any player that dropped out the Scotland squad this week. Lennon Miller.
McCrory.
Ross McCrory. And we hope Billy Gilmore hasn't dropped out. He's just been left at home and hopefully joins up before the Denmark game. So there we go. None of you got it.
Is that 1-0?
2-1. The Celtic managerial target Wilfred Nancy, were so confident as well. It's Montreal.
It's on your sheet.
It was a Columbus crew. We just spoke about him for an hour solid. He was previously
Jonathan. Not get that either.
No, he did not.
Mate.
Honestly,
lose that number.
I don't think Jonathan got that far because he stalled a little bit. Jonathan, you're right. You didn't get zero, so I don't know if that makes you happy, but you did lose to Ross McCormick.
That's it. It was just pressure got to me, and I was trying it was Gilmore I was trying to get.
Ah, see. Well, we hope he's not dropped out the squad. Hopefully he can still
come back.
Who's your team, Jonathan?
Rangers.
What are you thinking at the moment then?
A lot more happier with Danny Rowe in charge. Big difference. But still a long way to go.
I think that probably sums it up. Just a quick sentence. A lot happier now Danny Rowe's in charge. Still a long way to go.
Yeah.
Would that be like the really fair way of assessing things at the moment?
100%. I think a lot of Rangers fans are just sitting back watching to see what he's bringing. And so far, there have been a lot of positives. I know the European campaign's not been so great, but domestically, it's been good. And I think when you see a sign of a coach coming in to improve things, you see players improving. And I think slowly but surely, we're seeing one or two Rangers players improving under his leadership.
Mikey Moore's a big one for me. I think he's starting to sort of show that potential that everyone down south was talking about because he's so highly rated down there. I think the biggest thing with Danny Rowe is, listen, he's made them a lot harder to score against. They don't concede half as many chances as they used to, and that's a good starting point.
Well, let's actually hear from Mikey Moore. We'll thank Jonathan for his time. Couldn't quite get past Ross McCormick, a formidable quizzer on his day, and he managed to get over the line. There, let's hear Mikey Moore. He believes he's emerged already from this from a difficult initial spell and on his way to top form, and believes Rangers are still in the title race.
It was a difficult start for me, and mentally it's been unbelievable for me because it's a massive club, and I think it's strengthened me up a lot because it's the first bit of probably the toughest time I've been through, so now I'm happy to be coming out of it, but now I need to keep on going and performing. Play the teams at the top multiple times still. As long as we keep picking up points, what we need to pick up, we need to perform well as well. So yeah, and I think that's happening now.
We are, we've always been obsessed, but it feels like more than ever, about recruitment. You know, it's the main thing we tend to look at, but how important is it a manager comes in and makes what's already there better? Kind of what we said about Celtic, you know, if you don't have a window. Do you think, is Mikey Moore the shining example so far? It's very early, just a few domestic games, but is he the one that looks like he's benefited most from new manager?
Yeah, because he came with a big reputation, didn't he, from Tottenham. Under Russell Martin, I thought he didn't look a player at all. I was wondering, what has Rangers seen in this young lad here? But new manager comes in. I think what he's done is he's let him go and play with a bit of freedom. And Roscoe will tell you, see, if you go out there and you're a guy that gets on the ball and makes things happen, if you've got a manager that's saying to you, listen, go and play, go and get out there, play with that freedom, get on the ball, make things happen, you've got the ability, and all of a sudden you see the confidence oozing out the lad. And he chipped in with a good goal at Dens Park as well. So, yeah, I'm starting to see big improvements in this boy.
There is a sort of man management, motivational, inspirational side that we can't see, Ross. We don't know what that looks like. Has he been used differently, though? Has he been played in a different position, ultimately? Has he been moved around a bit, allowing him to flourish more than he had at the start? Or do you think he was always going to get better because he's young and he'd come up?
Well, yeah, 100%. He was always going to get better. I think he probably could only get better from the start that he had. But I think he's probably had a little bit more freedom in terms of to sort of float around and get on the ball. And I'll say something now, it's not just his socks, but he does remind me a bit of Jack Grealish. Not just his socks, but the way he carries the ball. For me, he seems to be quicker when he's running with the ball than he actually is without. I think he's a huge talent, but I think Gordon's hit the nail on the head there. Being an attacking player myself, when a manager takes a lot of the sort of anxiety away from you in terms of, listen, don't worry about it, we know you're going to give the ball away, but keep trying it, go and get it again, do it again. So you get that freedom, and that gives you that confidence. And I think especially young attacking players, he said it there, coming to a massive club like Rangers, it was a shock to him. But he's starting to show exactly what everyone down south has seen.
To what extent are Rangers in a title race, Gordon? What's your own feelings on it?
Well, it's still a long way to go for me. I think there are really good improvements under the new manager, but I think that head start that they gave Hearts and Celtic, it's a lot to claw back for me. I know that they're on a nice wee run just now. They've got an easy victory for me at Dens Park. They went up there and cruised that. They could have been a lot more than three. Their players getting better week in, week out. But I still think if you look at Hearts and you look at Celtic, mm-hmm. I'm still tipping. I tipped Celtic at the beginning. I'm still going with them. Although that there's not a lot out there just now that's given me great confidence with injuries and everything that's happened to them. But domestically, they're still turning over good results. But I think it'll be tight. And Hearts, you've got to give Hearts all the credit in the world. If you'd have said to them, this is where you're going to be going into this international break, they'd have been over the moon. So I think with the fact that Hearts with the squad, manager, type of football they play, and then you're chasing Celtic as well. For me, you're not chasing one team now, you're chasing two.
Don't get me wrong, Ross, there was a time when no fixture looked like an easy fixture for Rangers, so that was obviously part of the problem. But now at least it looks like they've got elements of that, you know, sort of together. You wonder if the next two fixtures in domestic, or in the league, sorry, at home to Livy and at home to Falkirk, at the same time where the Celtic go away to St Mirren and away to Hibs. So you just wonder if Danny Rule, Rangers fans will be looking at that and looking at it for an opportunity to eat into that 5 points, whether it is. It's obviously going to be a big ask to overtake it quickly, but 5 points at the moment. Is it unthinkable that Rangers win both? Is it unthinkable that Celtic drop points at one of those? Because even really good Celtic teams could do that. But then again, Celtic have got the chance to send out a massive statement by going to those two difficult venues and winning them.
Yeah, listen, no, I think two tough games for Celtic for sure, probably two easier games for Rangers, but I think a lot of people would have not been happy with Mikey Moore if he came out and says that they weren't in a title race, yeah. Do you know what I mean? So you've got to take it into context, what he's actually been asked. Are they in a title race? For me, probably not, because Gordon said they're not just chasing Celtic, who are 5 points ahead, it's 12 points behind Hearts. Yeah. That's a big difference.
It sure is. Let's bring in Gary on the line and see what he has got for us. Gary?
Evening, gents. How are you? All right?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, just a quick couple of points. Just for the situation with Nico Raskin, being reports about £18 million, bid for him, a couple of teams. Do you guys think that Rangers would cash in on him in January for about £18 million, or do you think that Rangers would wait till after the World Cup in January? He has a great World Cup with Belgium. That could only increase his actual...
his value?
Value, yeah.
How do you think he's playing at the moment, Gary?
Well, I know he's scored a couple of goals and stuff, but he's not been the same player as last year. Obviously, with the fallout with Russell Martin and stuff like that. But I just think if he went in January, he went to another team, he might not make the actual Belgium squad. So I think if we kept a hold of him, waited till the summer, had a good World Cup, then it would just increase his value.
What do you think? What's Nico Raskin's future look like, Gordon?
Well,
I feel like I saw a lot of stick actually for his couple of performances recently, albeit he then went and scored at the weekend.
I agree with that. I think when Russell Martin and the argument, and then he come back in, I think it was Hibs at Ibrox, I thought he was brilliant on the day. He looked like a player, he had a point to prove to the manager, the supporters were right behind him. I think he's a very, very good player, Gordon, I really do, but I think he dropped off it. He's got a knack of turning up and scoring a header for a set play. I've got to say that about him. I do think he's a good player, but I look at players and think, right, £18 million on the table, for instance, right, that's what we're talking about.
Gary's fee, I have no idea where that comes from.
Yeah, so we'll go the £18 million. I don't know if they'll get £18 million. But I look at a player, Raskin, and think, is he going to be the difference of you going and challenging and winning the league? I don't think he is, right? I think if you look at a goal scorer who's banging you goals in left, right and centre, and a club comes in and offers you big money, I think you've got a massive decision to make, because he's a guy that can go and win your league with goals. I don't think Raskin is that kind of player. So would I take £18 million for him? I probably would.
I mean, Ross, his contract's up 2027, so the end of the season, it would be a year left. There's maybe a wider point there. This, how often have we spoke about a player trading model? Rangers don't really have one. Depends if his form improves before then. What do you think his future looks like? Could you see him signing another contract, or do Rangers need to try and sell him at some point?
I would say sell him at some point. Yeah, I can't see him signing another contract. I would also suggest that Rangers probably learn from mistakes of the past in terms of the time that they took to sell players. You look at Ryan Kent, Morelos, probably both sold at the, or both let go, sorry, at the wrong times, losing out on a lot of money. I think there's a sort of snobbery against Scottish football in terms of the fees that clubs are willing to pay Scottish clubs for our players. So I would also suggest that if it is, as Gordon was saying there, £18 million on the table, I don't think Rangers are in a position to turn that down.
I think his form needs to improve, and everyone keeps saying, you know, he's a Belgium international, so that does good things for your CV. But if you're looking at his form purely this season, because there was a time when everyone sort of thought or assumed it was either Russell Martin's fault or he wasn't getting the chance to show it because he was left out by Russell Martin. Now we've seen a little bit of him under, and like I say, maybe the timing of this, he scored at the weekend, so I acknowledge that. But does he need to pick up form a bit more?
Well, yeah, I think so. He's probably the one in the Rangers squad, Rangers midfield, who a lot of the fans will look to go and take games by the scruff of the neck. And he hasn't done that of late. Obviously, he scored at the weekend. But I think you look at it as well, the fact that he's in the Belgium squad, people look at him as being this unbelievable player who's going to do these unbelievable things. He's not really like that, is he? He's not one of these players who's going to go and beat players, set up goals, score, you know, every week. So it's a hard one for him. That's why for me, if it is that fee on the table, I think it's very difficult for Rangers to turn that level of fee down.
Thank you very much to Gary on the line. It's a good time to call. If you do that right now, there's a good chance we will get you on next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Ross McCormick are here. It's 0141 951 1025. You can tweet, send us a message at Clyde SSB. Let us know what is on your mind tonight. It's a busy period still. Lots of fallout from the weekend and managerial searches and all the rest of it. And of course, moving slowly towards the international stuff at the weekend. Big games coming up. Jim in Benidorm has sent the
Benidorm
question. You'd love to be in Benidorm.
Oh,
now,
I love Benidorm.
That weather out there would make you sick.
I know.
Anyway,
I wouldn't be.
By the way, it
Benidorm.
Might be pouring in Benidorm. I've not got any idea. It might be terrible as far as that.
The entertainment's good.
I'll take your word for it. Only five men, Jim says, have played for Celtic or Rangers and won La Liga. Who are they? Five men have played for Celtic or Rangers and won La Liga. Can you name them? Take one guess each. Should be quite easy. Only five, mostly household
names. Did Larsson win it with Barcelona?
Did. Yes, Henrik Larsson. Okay.
Tommy Gravesen.
No.
Arteta.
Nope.
Edson Braithwaite.
No, it's a rogue shout.
No. Is he not at Barcelona?
Played in a World Cup final. I remember that. Mark Wilson, remember, always hated him. Remember, he always used to have a real vendetta against him for some reason.
Well, I know, I certainly know Nacho Nolan, never.
Rosas.
Nope. Just naming any Spaniards now, aren't you?
Yeah. We're going right down the Spaniard. And there's probably
Nacho
no Spaniards.
Nacho Nolan, new manager's job.
Darvel.
You see that?
Yeah.
Interesting one. Yeah. Yesterday, surprised me. Anything else? That would have been a good beat the pundit question, actually. Stick that down for tomorrow and hope that whoever's on isn't listening. Who's Nacho Novo, the new manager of?
Do you know what? They'll do that.
I know they will.
Come on. Is there a goalie in there?
Oh, do you know what? We can't actually, because out of his normal routine, Roger Hanna's on tomorrow. He was away getting his big inauguration last night. He's the president now of the Football Writers Association. That's why he wasn't
is
here
that
last
right?
night. So David Friel said.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations, Roger.
You don't mean that one bit, do you?
No, I do.
For a second.
Van Bronckhorst.
Yes.
That's the one.
Well done.
Is there two brothers on there as
Listen,
well? No?
Just wait. Okay, wait.
For Rangers.
That's the only answers I'm accepting at the moment. Henrik Larsson and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, both Barcelona. Thank you to Jim and Benidorm for sending the question, which is, five men have played for Celtic or Rangers and have won La Liga. Can you name them? And as always, just a reminder, because the whole point is that you send the questions to us and the guys try and answer your question. That's the full-time teaser in a nutshell. And the address you need for that is fulltime@clyde1.com. So fulltime@clyde1.com. Keep your questions coming over to us. Plenty of time for calls as well. 0141 951 1025. We're here until just before 8 o'clock as always. Let's hear a bit from Luke McCowan. He says interim boss Martin O'Neill's not given any indication whether he wants to stay, but doesn't think a managerial change will affect the squad.
In the present, that's the way he is. That's been amazing. As I said, he's got that aura and almost legendary status at this club. So fair play to him coming back and helping us out when we kind of needed it. Team's in an alright place, winning semi-final, couple of games in the league winning, but whenever it's called upon or whenever it's changed, it's not up to the players. As I said, the players have just got to keep focusing on what we're doing and keep putting the performances in that lead to 3 points.
Vincent is on the line. How are you?
Good evening. How are you doing, lads?
Good. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, Celtic are looking far and wide for a manager. I don't think they've got to look any further than Ayrshire. I would bring Scott Brown back. I would put Scott Brown in the dugout with Sean Maloney, and I would get Martin O'Neill to coach them with his wisdom to the end of the season.
Sounds very much just like this kind of ex-Celtic connection here, Vincent. Scott Brown is an unbelievable Celtic captain and won so much, and what's he done yet in management that makes him suitable for the Celtic job?
He's not done anything.
Right, is that not an issue then?
What I mean is, he knows the Scottish game. He knows a lot of the Celtic players.
But so do loads of people.
Aye, but this Frenchman that he's all speaking about, how would he fancy going to Dingwall and Dundee in a night like this? He's no experience of that. Scott Brown has.
He was up at Dingwall at the weekend, Scott Brown.
That's what I mean.
Bags of experience, three right. each.
Hold on, right. Your willingness to travel to Dingwall cannot be one of the main considerations for the job.
Listen, it's the one thing I'm not particularly into, right, because I feel that when you get big clubs, if it's Celtic or it's Rangers, you always think that the right fit is get a Celtic man in there. Scott Brown as a player has been unbelievable for Celtic. He's a legend at the club. He's cutting his teeth in management. Scott Brown's not at that level in management and coaching. He's not. He's sitting with mid-table in the Championship. That doesn't get you a job. Look, put it this way. Forget Scott Brown. Say Scott Brown had never played for Celtic. Would Scott Brown be able to go in and be a manager or a coach in at Celtic just now? You would never mention his name. The only reason you mention his name is because he was a captain and he was brilliant for the club. He's done nothing in management so far. He's cutting his teeth in the game. So Scott Brown's not at that level just now.
Who did Alex Ferguson manage before he went to Manchester United?
Aberdeen.
East Stirling and St Mirren.
Yeah, that's where he started. Then he went to Aberdeen. Then he went to Manchester United.
That's right. Well, Scott Brown started at Ayr United. So
no, he started at Fleetwood Town, didn't he?
What's the difference for East Stirling?
I think we've overlooked Aberdeen.
But Alex Ferguson won European trophies and leagues at Aberdeen before he went to Manchester United. Scott Brown hasn't won anything.
No, because he's not had a chance.
Tell you what, if you want to go into the Championship for an ex-Celtic player who's doing good, there's only one man.
Exactly.
He's a cardboard cut out of him and he's second in the league. Exactly. He's got to go, roll out the cardboard.
9
for
points
Mark
ahead
Wilson.
Of Scott Brown.
I don't hear Andy suggesting Mark Wilson.
Do you know something? I know what Vincent's saying, and it's that old sentiment of Scott Brown and the Celtic connection. I get it all, right? But it's got to be down to ability to go and do a job at that level. I'm not saying in the future Scott Brown will not be a future Celtic manager. I don't know. But right now, he's the Ayr United manager working very hard in the Championship, trying to learn the game as much as he possibly can. I think I read in the papers he's away down to Everton or something, you know, to spend some time with David Moyes and stuff like that. That's great. That's for the future going forward for Scott Brown. But right now, I'm sorry, I don't get that.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Obviously, in 10 years' time, 5 years' time, maybe he's in a position, and maybe, like, because I'm sure Celtic fans would then love that. If you could get a guy that has got managerial credentials mixed with all the stuff that Vincent says, then great. But I think just right now, if we're being fair, that maybe Scott Brown would admit that, I'm pretty sure, at the moment.
100%. He's got that one massive ingredient that's probably needed to be Celtic manager. I can accept that. He could stand on the sideline and take it all on his shoulders. He's got that. But in terms of ability? No, not ability. In terms of deserving of the Celtic job.
Well, the manager, right, he's not at that level just now,
Gordon. He may get to that level. I love the fact that he's went to Fleetwood, he's come up here, he's took on the Championship team, Ayr United. I like the fact he's away now, looking and talking to David Moyes, watching all this. He's learning his trade. He's not ready to get in there and be part of that yet.
Well, Vincent, we'll have to agree to disagree. Thank you very much. 01419511025. Give us a call. Keep your thoughts coming in. We're at Clyde SSB as well. Always good to get some different names thrown around there. Let's bring in Josh, who's on the line. How are you, Josh?
All right, Gordon, matey.
What are you thinking tonight?
Yeah, a couple of Scotland points. So players venturing abroad to improve their game and further their careers. Mm-hmm. Having that knock-on effect for the international game. You've got Scott McTominay, you've got Billy Gilmore, you've got Lewis Ferguson, and also to, you know, to the English game, you've got the likes of Andrew Robertson at Liverpool, you know, multiple league title winner and Champions League winner and all the rest of it. So, you know, the question to the lads is, do you think that definitely is prevalent, that the likes of Scott's gone over, won the Ballon d'Or, being nominated, sorry, for the Ballon d'Or, that'd be a big step, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. But then, bringing stuff back to the Scotland camp, basically from other cultures and different ways of playing football and different ways of beating an opponent and things like that. Boys, do you think that's been pivotal to the success or not really?
Certainly hope it works this weekend.
Yeah, and you're missing out Lennon Miller, who's obviously went abroad as well.
Early for him though, and hasn't played as much.
No, but he'll eventually become that guy in the middle of the park. I think nowadays, Roscoe probably, he played a lot recently than myself, but if you look back now, I think it's a great idea for players. Now, what happened it used to be, if you played with Motherwell, Hibs, Hearts or whatever, if Rangers and Celtic come in for you, oof, you're going there all day long. Nowadays, young players are thinking, I want to go to a different country, I want to learn a different language, culture, style of football, work under different managers and coaches and learn the game. And then obviously you advance that into international football as well. I think it's refreshing. I really do. I hate the fact that our best talent leaves Scotland, because you want to keep them in Scotland, but I totally understand the reason why.
It puts a lot of pressure on them players that you mentioned, though. It's important that when they do come into the Scotland squad, is they don't try and start doing things which they don't do at their club football, like Scott McTominay. What's he good at? Late runs into the box, getting on the end of things. It's not picking up the ball 35, 40 yards out and beating players and stuff like that. Just put these guys in a position to do what they're good at, and they'll excel.
Because he was really poor in the last couple of Scotland games, wasn't he? Then he popped up with the goal, and since then he's actually gone back and scored a couple more for Napoli. So hopefully.
Well, that's why I said it, Gordon. If you watched the, you know, two or three games prior to that, he was doing things which he probably doesn't do at Napoli in terms of, you know, running with the ball, trying to beat players. It's not his game. Just leave that to other people and you just concentrate on what you do best. And by the way, he's one of the best in Europe at doing it.
I think if you look at Scott McTominay, right, he was at one of the biggest clubs in the world, Manchester United. He's went to Italian football, and I'll guarantee you, if you ask him, he'll say he's improved and learned a lot.
Oh, for sure, yeah, it certainly looks like. Let's hear a bit of an update today from Stephen Naismith. He came and sat next to you a couple of times in the show, and now he's away, Scotland assistant.
I got him a job as well.
Yeah. Billy Gilmore, he says, leaving him out of the Greece game, hopefully sees him fully fit for the Denmark game on Tuesday. Let's hear from Scotland assistant on that, Billy Gilmore.
He's obviously picked up an injury a couple of weeks back. There was an argument to say call him up, we have him on site and that, but he's better being at home and seeing how this week goes to give him the best chance to be ready. And that's still a good realistic possibility. The higher risk comes that you maybe force him into the first game when he's not 100% and damages more, whereas if you give him another week, then the chances of him being at a really good level to go into that last game's high. So, yeah, I think there's still a good chance that he could meet up when we're back home.
How big a blow would that be, Josh, if he didn't make it?
Oh, huge, Gordon. I mean, it's, you know, really positive times to be a Scotland fan. I mean, looking back to 2019 with the Women's World Cup, you know, they got through, they were inches away from making the knockout stages. And I'm led to believe that no Scotland team's ever come out of the group at an international tournament. So for me, it's not only the qualifying, Gordon, and the lads that's important. It's also building on what we had in 2024, which was, you know, we sort of made the numbers up. You know, we got through to the group stage and, you know, ran into some difficult opponents and couldn't really handle it. I think this time, with the experience of that tournament and the progress that's being made under Stevie, we have to kind of not only aim to get 4 points from these two games and get to the tournament, but also building on it, trying to reach the knockout stage, break that new ground. Because, you know, back in 2019, like I said, in the women's side of it, they were inches away. They were 3-0 up against Argentina and ended up drawing 3-3 in the most bizarre circumstances.
I feel like I'll politely disagree with Josh. I feel like if you've not been there since 98, you just need to get there.
Yeah.
And then you can, of course, no, you don't want to make up the numbers, but right now we've got a big enough problem getting there before you have to worry about, you know, get out in the group stages.
Oh, I'm not interested in the group stage. I'm like you. Getting there would be a great achievement. And I think right now, sitting here, I'm pretty confident.
Are you?
Yeah, I think we're in a great place.
Changing my mind.
No,
it's a tough weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think we're in a great place.
The Billy Gilmore one, Ross, is potentially problematic because he doesn't always start. And I don't think he would have started anyway away to Greece. Mm-hmm. You probably look at that blueprint away to Denmark, and that was the one that he was left out. You know, he tends to be seen as somebody that when we want more of the ball or when we're trying to go on the front foot. But he's also the only person that can do what he can do, really, in the squad. And then he's just another number as well, because it's all right talking about starting games, but, you know, you make substitutions and all of a sudden that midfield area, although some of them have got better and have developed, Callum McGregor's retired. Stuart Armstrong's now not really as... Well, he's not really an option anymore. Lewis Ferguson's maybe come in that time. Kenny McLean's older. So the starting 11 can stay roughly the same, but the depth maybe is maybe not enough to handle Billy Gilmore being missing for the Denmark game.
Yeah, the depth's a problem. You look at the starting 11. Lewis Ferguson, what's it, 2 years ago, 3 years mm-hmm. ago, voted the best midfielder in Serie A. So he's clearly mm-hmm. playing at a good level. Ryan Christie, for me, if you watch him at Bournemouth, he plays in one mm-hmm. of them roles. So I think that would be my two that mm-hmm. start, if Billy Gilmore obviously ain't going to play, which looks that way. But then the problems come after that, if anything happens to them.
Even at that, though, teams make loads of subs. You're getting to that 60 minutes. Kenny McLean for one of them mm-hmm. at some point, probably. Then what, you know, so Andy Irving's been drafted into the squad, Conor Barron with Billy Gilmore not making this one, Lennon Miller, you know, withdrawn as well. It's a bit of a worry if he couldn't make it for the Denmark game.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you said there, Gordon. He's one of these players who can do things that other players can't. And you're right, I think probably away from home, I don't think he would have been in the side. But I think he's definitely a big player at Hampden for us.
Okay, thank you to Josh.
No, sorry, I was just going to say, do you not think, like, away from home it's more important for guys that can get on the ball and give us a break?
There's obviously a school of thought. It was more a prediction, if you like. You know, like, I think we've seen it. I think that Denmark away, that was the one he was left out. Probably, like, if he does have a limitation, which I'm sure he does, it would be off the ball, wouldn't it? And maybe that power or whatever. So it just wouldn't have surprised you. If he only misses one of the games, I think you would rather he miss the first one.
Yeah, but I agree with that.
Hopefully back for the second. Thank you to Josh on the line. On the teaser tonight, we've got, let me find it. Do you know what? I'll give you some thinking time,
right,
and we'll do the answers. More calls if you want as well when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Ross McCormick are in the home straight on tonight's show. Nearly done, but still time to call, so please do get your thoughts into us. If there's something you just need to get off your chest before tomorrow, we would love to have it. You two have a good teaser on the go, which was sent in from Jim in Benidorm, wasn't it? Jim's obviously all things Spanish now for Jim. He's into the Spanish football and all that sort of stuff. So he's given us a theme here. Only five men have played for Celtic or Rangers and have won La Liga. Can you name them? You've got Henrik Larsson of Celtic and Barcelona fame, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst of Rangers and Barcelona fame anymore.
Come on. It's got to be in there.
The De Boer brothers.
Two for the price of one.
We're going two.
You think both?
Yeah.
I think only one.
Yeah, two. Get two.
I'm going to say Frank.
Frank is on the list.
Is Ronald not?
He is. Well done. That's you. Three. You've only got one more to get. So Barcelona 99 ticked off Frank and Ronald. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and Henrik Larsson won a couple in the same mid-2000s era at Barcelona. So you've got one more to get before the end. And a final reminder probably, or might squeeze one more, Jim in Benidorm, emailed that in to fulltime@clyde1.com And ultimately, that's what you have to do as well. As always, at the end of the show, sometimes just try and tidy up some talking points or some stories that deserve a mention, but we haven't got round to yet, Gordon. I wonder if your sympathies are with the Hamilton Accies fans tonight. Oh. Now, we alluded to this on Beat the Pundit, but in case anyone wasn't aware, so it's actually taken on another turn since we came on air. So it's now at the stage where Police Scotland are investigating alleged fraud at Hamilton Accies. They apparently received a report in May. They say they're assessing the information and inquiries are ongoing. In the last 6 months, everyone might remember the backstory. They've been deducted points, they've been fined for failing to pay HMRC player wages, providing misleading information, stadium issues, they don't play in Hamilton anymore, various other rule breaches. And then earlier on today, the Scottish FA announced that the owner, Serif Zengin, and director of football, Jerry Strain, are now not considered fit and proper people to run the clubs and they should leave. So essentially leaves Accies with nobody running the club.
Because Jock Brown stood right. down, so obviously.
It is a remarkable situation. Yeah. And I think, look, there's a lot there. There's a lot, and there's an ongoing police investigation and so on. So you let that play its course. But I think what we always like to try and do is stick up for fans first, and they must just be at the wits end with it.
Gordon, not just fans. I know John Rankin very well. The manager must be sitting thinking, what is going on here? His players. I believe that Hamilton are still partly full time, which means that those players depend on those wages to go and pay mortgages and bills and everything. So it's a worrying time for them. The supporters are now no longer going down to Hamilton to support their team in their own hometown. They're having to travel, obviously, to Cumbernauld to go and support them. They get relegated last year because of the points deduction, because if that wasn't the case, they'd still be a championship team. It's just going from bad to worse. You must be waking up the next day wondering what is going to happen now. It's dreadful times for Hamilton Accies.
I mean, Ross, it's obviously it does collide with the on pitch stuff as well, because you can only dig out so many good results and then points deductions. And if you were to look at this, would you be surprised if there were more points deductions down the line? Probably not. Must be a really difficult time for those involved.
Yeah, 100%. And it's hard because it's essentially the players with point deductions. It's the players that get punished, even though it's not really their fault as to what's happened. But see, when things like this play out for me, Gordon, it's more the people within the club that I feel sorry for. There's probably going to be a lot of people that are going to lose jobs. And you said there about the players, you know, needing the wages and stuff. But you think about the staff who have given so many years to that football club who are probably going to lose jobs now. It's just a sorry situation.
Yeah, and if they haven't already, which I'm sure they have, the Accies fans thought, you know, is this the end? They're sort of feared the worst. They probably are tonight.
They need someone to come in and steady the ship and take over the club, Gordon. It's as simple as that, and get the club back to running the right way, and hopefully the Accies can continue on. As I said, football-wise, John Rankin's done a terrific job there. He really has, but he's fought against absolutely everything. As a manager getting in, I think, is that John's first job into Hamilton? My goodness, he has learnt a lot from that job, I've got to say. Yeah, not good times for Accies just now. I really, really feel for him as a football club.
And just finally, I know we joked earlier, are you ruling yourself out of the running for the Raith Rovers job?
Yeah, it's too far to travel.
On a serious note, what did you make of that Barry Robson sacked after the defeat to Queen's Park on Saturday? I think it's their fourth defeat in sixth in the table.
I heard the rumblings, Gordon, that there's one or two not particularly happy up there inside the corridors with Barry. And
must be that way, because I know sixth doesn't sound great, but 3 points off the playoffs. Yeah. I think every club really would settle for the playoffs, apart from St Johnstone and maybe Ross County going into the season. I'll look at where they are. It's only 3 points off the playoffs. Is that sack worthy?
No, it's not. But you argue back to the situation where everybody was baffled with Ian Murray situation.
Oh, of course.
So it's just they've decided that they don't feel that Barry can take them where they want to be. They're a great club. They really are a great club. I loved my time up there. And I think it's Paul Hanlon that's been an interim manager. He's got a bit of experience, first job for him, just to try and steady the ship. Be interesting to see how he does over the next few games. But as I say, I feel sorry for MD that loses her job, but it's just the nature of football management now.
Oh, look at that. You just it's like the Wraith fans remembering you timing a run to the back post. Yeah. You finished speaking just as the music started for the end of the show. Let's check in this teaser and finish it off. Five men, they've played for Celtic or Rangers and they've won La Liga. Henrik Larsson, Frank de Boer, Ronald de Boer, Giovanni van Bronckhorst, and...
There's only one I can say, and if I say it, and it's not that I'm out.
Well, we'll get a clue, can't we?
He played with Barcelona. Is that right? No.
Who were you going for?
Mark Crossas or something?
He said that 40 minutes ago.
Did you?
Goodness sake.
His wee brother. Right, we need a... Is a goalie?
No, the only clue you need...
Right.
Former teammate and strike partner of Ross McCormack's.
Come on.
Won La Liga?
Yes. With Atletico Madrid. On...
Fulham, Aston Villa must be.
Fulham.
Come on. Oh,
Moussa Dembele.
Moussa Dembele.
Yeah.
There we go. I always thought you were the better of the two anyway, but who knows? Right, thank you very much to Ross McCormack and Gordon Dalziel. We are back tomorrow. Who knows? Will there be any developments in the Celtic managerial hunt? We're closer to a big weekend for Scotland, and we'll speak to you tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.